We welcome you here to Ballygan Free Presbyterian Church, especially members of St. Field District, Royal Black Preceptory. We welcome you, all who are visiting with us tonight. We pray that the Lord's blessing will be upon us as we meet together in his name to worship the Lord this evening. We'll join in the singing of the hymn 112 that's in the book there, if you prefer the book, or just look to the screen. In the cross of Christ thy glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time, all the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. 112, we'll stand after the introduction and the standards will be received during the singing of this hymn. Let us seek the Lord's face in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious and eternal Father, we bow in thy holy and sacred presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, for these words we've been singing, reminding us of the cross. And that is our theme tonight. As we think about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and the great truth of the cross, the Bible view of the cross, what the Bible teaches about the cross. And we pray that tonight our hearts will be focused and our minds and our attention will be upon the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because there the Savior died and there he gave his life, a ransom for many. There he suffered, he bled and died that we might have life. We thank thee, O God, for the cross. We rejoice in the hymn writer who said those words, or wrote those words, that we must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. If I e'er get sight of the gates of life, the way of the cross I miss. O God, we pray that tonight, every person in this building, or listening online tonight to this service, will come by the way of the cross, and come to know and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. We pray that thou wilt help, that thou wilt bless, that thou wilt meet with us, that thou wilt do us good, that we might hear thy voice saying to us tonight, this is the way, walk ye in. We pray for the brethren of the Royal Black Preceptory, St. Field District. We pray that thou wilt bless them, And any visiting brethren who are joined with us tonight, members of the band too, we pray thy blessing upon each one, that thou would speak to every heart. And we pray, O God, that we might remember the Reformed faith, the faith of our forefathers that has been passed down to us through generations, the great and rich heritage of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, O God, that that will be to the fore of our minds and the fore of all the brethren's minds who have met with us tonight. Father, we pray for thy presence here. Bless Vivian as she comes now to minister in song and every part of this service. Remember those in our congregation too who have lost loved ones. Pray for comfort and grace. For those in the midst of sickness, we pray for healing. That thou wilt bless our land at this time. Deliver us from our enemies. Save us, we beseech of thee. Overthrow our enemies. And Lord, give us deliverance in these times. We pray in Jesus' worthy name. And for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're delighted to have Vivian McCoy with us tonight. Vivian's going to come and minister a couple of pieces to us now.
fast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above, and hence peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. In thy truth thou dost direct me by thy Spirit through thy word, and thy grace my need is meeting as I trust.
Song. We'll be hearing from her a little later in our service this evening. We do welcome you all in the Lord's name, as we've said, a special welcome to the members of Saintfield District Royal Black Preceptory. And of course, they're always welcome here in the Belfast Road. Many times I haven't seen you because it's usually my holiday time, but I'm glad that I'm able to be here this year. I think the last occasion you were with us, I was able to be here as well. So we trust that the Lord will bless us tonight and that we'll know His presence. Could I just remind you as you leave, there are church offering baskets, but there's a separate basket for the retiring offering for Black Preceptory Charities, whatever that will go to. Of course, that will be decided by yourselves, but there's a separate basket there. If you want to contribute towards that, you can do so as you leave tonight. Could I just mention one or two announcements? The Bible study and prayer meeting will be held in the church this week and also the following week, which will be the Monday night rather than the Tuesday night, but this week, Tuesday night at 8 p.m, considering for the final time the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And do remember that, please, on Tuesday night, Bible study and prayer. Next Lord's Day at 11, the prayer meeting and the family worship at 11:30, followed by our communion service for all who know the Lord as Saviour. It would be good if all the Lord's people who are able could gather with us around the table next Lord's Day morning following the service. Anyone desiring communicant membership, please mention this to us, to a member of session or myself, and that could be dealt with before next Lord's Day. Remembering, of course, as session have reminded you in the past, that only communicant members will have a vote in the election of a new minister. The Gospel Evening Service next Sunday night at 7, and the preacher again will be myself in the evening Gospel Service. Remember all who are sick at this time, those going through treatments and recovering from illnesses, your prayers are deeply appreciated for all of these. Just to mention also a little card there announcing my retirement from the pastoral ministry. I'm retiring just in a couple of weeks' time on the 4th of September. You're welcome to attend the service then, and those little cards are available as you leave, and if you can get back amongst us then, you'd be more than welcome on that occasion. I know that don't look that age, but my birth certificate tells me different. So that is the case. A look of consternation on some faces. How can a young man like that be retiring? Well, that is the case. So do join us on that occasion if you can. You'd be more than welcome to come back here to that particular service. I think those are all the announcements we have to. We're going to sing another hymn. If you read the story of the cross, when Jesus bled and died, where your debt was paid by the precious blood that flowed from His wounded side. Number 103 in the book, but it's on the screen. We will stand after the introduction and sing, and then Vivian will come again and sing for us after that. Vivian for coming tonight and again so beautifully ministering in song to us. We're reading together from the Word of God in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. The 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. We're reading together from this portion of God's precious Word. John 19 and verse 16. Let us hear the Word of God tonight. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with them, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. The writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. It was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. And the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. And the coat was without seam woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture They did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. And they stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus, therefore, saw his mother, and the disciples standing by whom he loved. He saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. It was set a vessel full of vinegar. He took a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to all of our hearts. Let us bow together for prayer. Our Father, we come to thee in the closing moments of our service. We pray tonight, Lord, that thou wilt focus our attention upon the cross and grant that we might see Jesus lifted up to die for sinful men and women such as we. And we pray that tonight precious souls who hear the gospel will come to know Christ as their own and personal Savior. We ask in Jesus' name. And for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak tonight in the closing moments of our service upon a glorious word in the gospel. It's found here in John 19, verse 30. It consists of three words. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. I see on some collarettes tonight the cross. And of course you men in the black preceptory will know something about the cross and what it means. And so tonight in the closing moments of this meeting, I want to focus our attention and our thoughts upon the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the course of our life, we leave many things unfinished. We start a work, and we leave it not completed. We begin to do it with great enthusiasm, sometimes with great energy and endeavor. But we become perhaps distracted or discouraged, and we cease. A garment left unfinished. A house left unfinished. A book left unfinished. A study left unfinished. A course left unfinished. Maybe that list that your wife left for you has remained unfinished. The to-do list, there's still a lot to do on it because it hasn't been finished. When we look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we discover he finished the work that the Father gave him to do. When Christ made his sixth utterance upon the cross, in the Greek, it was one word with 10 letters. And of course, at the age of 33, most people were saying, it's only beginning. But at the age of 33, the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, It is finished. He did not say, I am finished. It was not the cry of defeat. It was the shout of victory. The word finished used here means, It is finished. It stands finished. It always will be finished. What a completion. What a work. To translate it into English, we need three words in our English language. It is finished. But yet there's a notion of meaning in these words tonight. A mere drop, for that is all we could call it, It is finished. And yet, it would need all the words that were ever spoken or ever could be spoken to explain the one word, finished. It is altogether immeasurable. It is high, we cannot attain unto it. It is deep, we cannot fathom it. Finished. I can half imagine the tone in which our Lord uttered this word. With glory, sense of relief, the bursting out of that heart that was shut up from the walls of anguish. Jesus cried, finished. It was the conqueror's cry. It was uttered with a loud voice. There's nothing of anguish about it. There's no wailing in it. This is the cry of one who has completed a tremendous work, who's about to die. And there he utters his death prayer, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He shouts his life's last hymn in that one word, finished. What a cry. What a word. I want to look at it tonight. What was finished? That's the question I want to answer in the closing moments of this service. First of all, the Scriptures were finished. You see, here is a reference to the fulfillment of Scriptures. Just a few verses prior to our text in the Gospel of John, verse 28, we read it tonight. Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Christ was most concerned about the fulfillment of Scripture. And the I thirst is testimony to that fact. It is finished. Certainly has application to the fulfillment of the prophecies concerning the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The it is finished did of course refer to all the prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ in relation to his first coming. But there are many, of course, in relation to his second coming that is yet to be fulfilled. But this reference to the fulfillment of Scriptures being completed refers to the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is true that there still remain some prophecies to be fulfilled. The passing of his Spirit into the hands of the Father, the piercing of his body with the spear, the preserving of his bones unbroken, the placing of his body in the rich man's grave. But there remained nothing more for the Savior to finish. Christ could say that his work in regards to prophecy was indeed finished. Prophecies which had to do with his first coming into this world had now been actually fulfilled. He was the woman's seed. He was born of a virgin. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. He was of the seed of Abraham. He was of the lineage of David. He was named before he was born. He was a descendant of the tribe of Judah. These are but few of the many prophecies that were fulfilled at the first advent of Christ. Those relating to his sufferings and death were also fulfilled. The Lord Jesus Christ had finished these prophecies, accomplished them. The fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies in the person of Christ is a marvelous testimony tonight to who the Lord Jesus Christ is. The one person should fulfill all of these prophecies makes it impossible that they could apply to anyone else but the Lord Jesus Christ, and proves to us that he is indeed who he claimed to be. And so the Scriptures were finished. But then secondly, the sacrifices were finished. In the Old Testament, we read, of course, of the sacrifices that were being continually offered. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 that every priest standeth daily ministering
and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. And so the priests of the Old Testament were continually coming and they were continually offering sacrifices upon the altar. But our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, has made that once for all sacrifice, never to be repeated, that all-sufficient sacrifice that he made upon the cross. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10 and verse 12, this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 14 of Hebrews 10, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And again, Hebrews 9, 26 to 28. Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Lord Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of the Father. The work was done. There was no more need, dear friends, for the Old Testament sacrifices. Christ had fulfilled all of that. His sacrifice is sufficient to put away sin, to make atonement for sin. And we rejoice in the supremacy of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's sacrifice of himself. His giving up of himself to the death of the cross. And tonight, dear friend, the work is done. And all you have to do is take the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Look to the finished work of Calvary. Don't look to man. Don't look to a church. Don't look to a priest or a minister or a bishop. Look to Christ tonight. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has finished the work of our salvation. Recently I was speaking to a colleague who was concerned about a dear man he was visiting, who'd given no indication of how he stood with the Lord. Then on one visit, when pressed again on the matter, the man said to the minister, I'm trusting in the finished work of the cross. And that's all that's required, my friend. That's all that's required, to trust in the finished work of the cross. Are you trusting tonight in the finished work of Calvary? The sacrifices were finished. Scriptures were finished. The substitution was finished. Christ took the place of sinners on the cross when he cried, it is finished. The work was done. What does it mean? Substitution. In the place of, for the benefit of sinners. He has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Christ bore our condemnation. He took our sins upon himself. The hymn writer penned those lovely words, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. In the Old Testament, they were continually offering the lambs upon the altar. Now Christ on the cross, on the altar of Calvary, has completed the work. Doesn't have to be done anymore. And all you have to look to Christ, do is to look to Christ, my dear friend, and you will live. The hymn writer penned again those beautiful words. There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him, and be saved unto him who was nailed to the tree. Look unto me, said the prophet Isaiah. Be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Isaiah said, the Lord hath laid on him, that's on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Christ, the sinless one, in the place of you and I, sinful men and women. Christ became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, dying the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. What love for sinful man
such as you and I, fallen man and woman. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christ died for the ungodly. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a work, the work of the cross. When you think about that cross, maybe that symbol that you have on your collarette, you will understand what it means. You will understand that it speaks about the finished work of the cross. It speaks of what Christ did on that cross. That work of sin bearing and substitution. Are you trusting in the finished work of Christ tonight? Are you trusting in a church? Or even belonging to the lodge? Are you trusting in Christ tonight? That's what you need. But then I want you to think fourthly about the suffering was finished. Christ suffered greatly in His first coming. And what tongue or pen can describe the sufferings of the Savior, the unutterable anguish, the physical, mental, and spiritual pain that He endured? Appropriate, He is called in Isaiah 53 the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He suffered at the hands of men. He suffered at the hands of Satan. He suffered at the hands of God. Pain inflicted upon Him by enemies and friends alike. Listen, the Scriptures speak tonight of His suffering. Isaiah 50 verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. All that see me laugh me to scorn. They gaped upon me with their mouths, the assembly of the wicked. Having closed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 22. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was afflicted. When it comes to Calvary, men generally think of nothing but the physical suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course there was that. But while those physical sufferings were excruciating, there was nothing compared to the anguish of the soul when Christ, well, at Gethsemane, He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Notice He said, my soul, not my body. The spiritual reached its peak at Calvary when He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? As the darkness enveloped the cross from the sixth to the ninth hour. The intensity, the immensity of the sufferings of Christ, we can never comprehend in our finite minds what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on that cross. But it was for me. Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free, the dazzling splendors of the skies. It was for me. It was for you. He came to die. The great sufferings of Christ, both physical and spiritual, have been completed. It's finished. The work's done. Nothing more to do. It's completed. Salvation is finished. That's the next thing. Salvation is finished. Christ finished the work of salvation on the cross. Salvation requires that there be a blood sacrifice for sinners. The Old Testament had, as we said, many sacrifices. But they never completed the work of salvation. They never sat down because their duties were never finished. But Christ has sat down. The work is done. He finished the work of salvation. Calvary is the sum total of what needs to be done to provide salvation for sinners such as you and I. The sacrifice of Calvary made all other sacrifices unnecessary. Oh, some want to add to the requirements for salvation, such as church membership and baptism and taking communion and human merits and doing good deeds. But all these things are unnecessary to salvation, my friend. Calvary has saw to it that the work was finished. Salvation is available to the whosoever will. And you may come tonight. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may drink of the water of life freely. God's salvation is available to you tonight. It's finished. Some years ago, there was an eccentric evangelist named Alexander Wooten. A man came to Wooten one day and said, rather sarcastically, "What must I do to be saved?" Knowing the man was not serious, Wooten replied, "It's too late." The man said, "No, no, what must I do to be saved?" Wooten said, "It's too late. It's already been done. It's already been done. Salvation is finished. Friend, all you have to do is partake of God's salvation tonight. The work is done. Christ has done it on Calvary's cross." I want to tell you also, Satan is finished. Isn't that good? Satan is finished. You see, there was a shout of victory over the devil on the cross when the Lord Jesus Christ finished the work of salvation. The serpent's head was bruised. That was the prophecy of Genesis 3:15. Here it's fulfilled. Satan had opposed Christ going to the cross, dying in the way heaven had planned. Satan tried on numerous occasions to stop Calvary's plan. But he failed, and Christ conquered victoriously. It is finished, included Christ's victory over Satan. And Scripture speaks of this wonderful victory tonight in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, the devil." And Calvary, my friends, included the conquest of Satan. The cross was the final overthrow of Satan's strange power over the bodies of men. Thank God, Satan was defeated. Because of Calvary, because of the finished work, Satan is a defeated foe tonight. He's a defeated foe. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory is ours because of what Christ has done. When you step into that victory tonight, the victory of the cross, know that victory that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished by the shedding of His blood, by the ransom that He paid on that cross of shame. But then we see the service was finished. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ completed His service. Christ spoke in John 5:36, "The works which the Father hath given me to finish." And He finished those works. He finished them. He could say in John 17:4, "I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do." He finished the work. Christ accomplished what He was sent upon this earth to do. He did the work. He did it all. He did it well. "It is finished," He cried. Instead of saying, "It is finished," we often say, "I am finished." Or, "I quit." One of the greatest problems in Christian service is right here. Many start the race, but they drop out. They cannot say it is finished. But if Christ finished His work for us, how can we do less than finish our work for Him? Finish the work that God has given you to do as a Christian. If you're truly saved, finish the work. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. What a glorious word this word "finished" is. And you know, there's something else as we conclude tonight. It's this: satisfaction was finished. Satisfaction was finished. Because He satisfied through His death the demands of divine justice. He satisfied the law's demands when He gave Himself to the death of the cross. When He laid down His life
There remaineth no more to be done.
He's done it all, friend.
He's done it all.
He's paid it all. He paid the price that only could suffice. He made the sacrifice upon the tree.
What a glorious word this is.
Finished.
Finished. Christ used it, for he had completed all that the Father had given him to do. And through the work of Christ, tonight salvation can be yours right now. If you will take Christ as your Savior tonight, will you take him? Will you take him now? Will you trust him now? The hymn writer penned those words, only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. Christian, keep on going on for God. Finish the work that God has given you to do. Somebody said to me the other day about you're retiring. I said, what's that? What's that? You see, a minister may retire from his pastoral ministry, but he keeps on doing the work of the Lord. And that's what I'll be doing, God willing, keeping on doing the work of the Lord in future days. Not here in Ballygowan. People will be shouting hallelujah to that. But going on and serving the Lord Jesus Christ as God has given me other things to do in his service. Finished. May God write this truth about the cross, this glorious word of the gospel, upon your heart tonight for his name's sake. Now we're going to have some words of thanks from Maurice Hanna, District Master of Saintfield District, Royal Black Preceptory. Maurice, thank you. You want to come to the podium here?
On behalf of the Trinites of Saintfield District, I would like to thank Ballygowan Presbyterian Church for these, allowing us to join with you in your service tonight. To the Reverend Moll for his inspiring address, thank you very much. To Billy's mother's bond for leading us doing from the church, and to the PSNI for doing traffic control. Star TD Race Memorial, RBP 689. The Annual Divine Service being carried out Presbyterian Church on Sunday the 4th of September at 6:30 p.m. Sir Knights to assemble at Cumber Road and Industrial Estate at 5:45 and moving off at 6 sharp. Could I, on behalf of the Sir Knights of Saintfield, wish you God's richest blessings in your retirement and thank you for having us.
Thank you. We join in the singing of the words of hymn 98. It'll be on the screen as well. There is a green hill far away without a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified. It died to save us all. Thank the District Master Morris for those words, and trust that the Lord will bless the district this Saturday coming, and of course in the days that lie ahead. May God richly bless you. No doubt our paths will cross somewhere again in future times. We're standing to sing, and the standards will be received, and then we'll have the benediction and then the national anthem.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.